Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
I was talking to some women this weekend, and there's a group of them around, and we're talking about the Tiger Woods situation. And one of them says that she straight up confesses, and I think that she was in a tight enough group that everybody knew that she had had an affair with a married guy at one point. And it was a married guy with kids. And she felt at the time that when the relationship broke up, even though it broke up poorly, and she had every reason in the world to be bitter at the guy and call him out, she felt like there was a mistress code of ethics that she got into the relationship and he wasn't deceptive in any way, shape, or form. He told her, look, I am married, I have kids, and I'm never going to leave them. I love my wife, I love my kids, this is just sex for me. The relationship ended up developing into something more than sex, and it got emotional, and that's where things started to sort of crumble. But even though she was all tore up about it, she said that when they broke up, she didn't feel like she had the right to go to the wife and break up that family because he was honest with her in the beginning. He's like, you got kids at stake here. Mm-hmm. I really don't want the kids to grow up without their father in the same house. And since he was honest with me from minute number one, then the code of ethics should be, if you're having an affair with a guy that's married that has kids and he tells you about it up front, you got to shut up. You
got to
shut up about it when the relationship is over. And she felt like all these women that were coming out knew that Tiger was married, knew that he had kids, and none of them have any right to say anything about it whatsoever.
But well, I think the difference is
the money.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's the reason they're coming out. I mean, the difference between the person you're talking about is she was not sleeping with a billionaire. You know, and these women... Tiger Woods not rich is not going to get as much play as he got.
Say that one more time.
Tiger Woods, who is not as, you know, rich as he is or famous, is not going to get the play he got.
Sure.
These women are with him because of the money. And who knows what he was doing for them on the side. So they're getting cashed out now that everything's their you know, affairs are ending. And so they're like, you know what, I'm going to get one last paycheck before this is over with.
This is Ashley Dupree talking about the same thing a couple of days ago. And I mean, she
is
the escort, yeah, that was being paid to be with Elliot Spitzer. Now, she's going to say she didn't come out. She wasn't the one that broke up that family.
It's just a mute. Like, she was on Extra last night the way that the way that Nancy Grace would be on a television show talking about a legal case. You know what I mean?
Like, she's the expert.
As an expert, and it was it was laugh out loud-able.
Ridiculous?
Yes.
404-741-Q100. I'm going to take Maria's call first here in a second, who absolutely agrees that if you're in that kind of relationship, you got to shut up.
I don't agree with what they're doing. I don't agree with coming forward. I mean, he has a family. He has a wife. He has a kid. And... for people to just come out and want to say the things that they're saying, you know, I feel like that's really wrong. I mean, you're messing with someone else's life. And I mean, when you sleep with a married man, first of all, you're only helping him stay married. And you know that he's married, and to come out into the public eye and, you know, and he's like his career, and he's wrong. I'm not trying to stick up for him at all. But, in my situation, I was brought into this. I had no choice.
You're only helping him stay married.
Yeah, I just wrote that down. I couldn't figure out what
does that mean? Means.
Does maybe that mean because if he wasn't getting it on the side, maybe he would be more honest with his wife about what was wrong in the relationship?
Or he'd be unhappy with that part of their relationship?
Maybe he's satisfied because he's getting his sexual needs met outside of the relationship.
Right,
and staying in the
relationship. And staying in the relationship. So sleeping with him is keeping him married. I just have never heard it.
Because the thought...
I learned something from Ashley Dupree today.
We did.
I think, yeah, the thought is he'll go, if he doesn't get it from you, he'll go from somebody else, and that person won't be as responsible about the affair.
Wow.
Wait, what?
I think her thinking is, if he's not getting it from you, and you're helping him stay married, then what's going to happen is he'll go somewhere else.
Okay.
Strip club, you know, a less reputable prostitute, another relationship, and that person might not respect the integrity of the marriage the way that Ashley did. You know, just keep it quiet.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Maria, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I met this guy 4 years ago. We used to work together. And I was married at the time and in the process to be in a separation. And we had this, you know, this thing between us. But I would never, you know, I was married. I would never think that I would do anything like that. But then I wasn't working that anymore. And I called him one day. And we've been together for 18 months. But I will never, ever jeopardize his relationship.
So you would never, ever, ever go to the wife?
Oh, no. He told me in the beginning, I love my kids. My kids have the priority, and I don't want my kids to suffer.
Now, let me ask you this. If he wasn't honest with you in the beginning, and you were deceived in the beginning thinking he was a single guy, and then found out, would you go to the wife at that point?
No.
No, never.
No. And we've been together for 18 months. I don't call him. When he had chance on a Sunday, he calls me. And our relationship is like, we are in love. But I respect everything. I'm a woman. I have integrity. I know what I'm doing. I want to do it, but I will never. I want to kiss him. So.
Hold on a sec. Go ahead, Melissa.
I mean, you have integrity.
No
the
one
mistress?
Can hear you rolling your eyes.
Yeah, I love how we are now at the point in our culture where we're justifying affairs and it's okay and you have integrity as a mistress. I mean, no, you don't. You're contributing to a lie to another woman that if she knew, she'd be hurt.
Yes.
So if he was honest with his wife and him had the agreement and said, you know what, we're going to get sex outside the marriage. And then, you know, and everybody was on, you know, everything was on the up and up, then no. But because if she's being deceived, then yes, you're contributing to a lie. So that does kind of, you know, hit into your integrity a little bit.
It's counterproductive to the word integrity.
Yeah, integrity, no. Integrity is a little strong.
You guys are so integrityable about integrity.
Has he ever promised you that he would eventually leave his wife?
I don't want him to.
No. Okay,
no.
So that's not.
No. And it's not about sex. And it's not about that, because I only see him maybe every 2 months.
So you're getting needs met, he's getting needs met, and there's no reason to sacrifice the relationship that he has at home.
No, and I don't want him to. No. I'm fine the way I am.
One more question for you. Uh-huh. Does he tell you that he sleeps with his wife still? Does he sleep with you and his wife?
I don't talk about her.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, what level makes the mistress mad?
I'm assuming that's what I'm trying to get at, too. But I think if...
You know what I mean? Like, where does she get ticked off to go to the wife? And, like, at what, you know, like, if he promises to leave his wife and be with her, like, at what stage in the game? Because she said it's been 18 months. At what stage in the game does it make her mad? Mm-hmm. Or if he says that he's not sleeping with his wife, but then she finds out he is sleeping with his wife, does she get mad at that and then go over the line? Like, what is it that forces it to go to the next place?
Look, I think there's an obvious call here that's not coming in yet for some reason, is that if you're screwing around, then you risk the chance of a woman coming back to your wife and breaking it all up to you. If you're not screwing around, it's never going to be a question.
Right.
And nobody's calling to say that.
Well, because we were talking about the etiquette of a mistress.
Yeah, but nobody is calling up to say that if you're the mistress, then there is zero question about it at all. Because he shouldn't be in the relationship. There should be no question because there should be no relationship.
But I think what Jen's saying is we're asking for people who specifically enter into that. So
okay.
They know what they're doing when they get started
right.
with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the morality of it, isn't it? Bert, come on, stop having morality.
Sorry that I didn't understand my question.
You and your ethics.
Hey, Tiffany, good morning.
Maybe I took your question the wrong way.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi.
Hey.
Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
What happened to me was about a year and a half ago, I met this guy at a club, and we hit it off. He told me from the day one, like from minute one, that he was married with kids. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm not looking for a relationship. And, you know, it went on for about a year, and his wife found out. She came up to me and confronted me, and I lied. I'm like, nope, never even saw your husband before. Just because he told me from day one that he had kids and he would never leave her. So it was just a fun thing.
So you're really protecting the kids more than anything else, right?
More, it's not even just the kids. It's just that, you know, I'm not a homewrecker. Well, you know, what happened between me and him was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute she found out about it, I'm like, okay, goodbye. I mean, I can't deal with all that drama. If you want to have fun, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute the wife finds out about it, it's not fun anymore.
Right.
And the thing with Tiger Woods is that, I mean, they didn't go to the wife. I mean, they got paid by the tabloid, so mm-hmm. it's not even the same mm-hmm. thing.
All right, now here's Jennifer, who went to the wife.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hi, you're on the Voice Disguiser also.
Oh, thank you. No, actually, I did not, I was unaware there was a wife.
Okay.
I was aware there were kids, and I was under the impression they were divorced. And found out that they weren't, that they were still married and had been married for 11 years. And I went to the wife because I was like, okay, you know, your husband, this is what he's doing. And, you know, I feel like this is wrong, and I was unaware of how wrong it was, until now. And she actually packed up all his stuff and told me I could have him.
But isn't this is, again, isn't this going against your question, Burke? Because wasn't the question like, if you are a mistress,
mm-hmm.
you know about the wife, you mm-hmm. know about the kids if there are any,
mm-hmm.
and you're almost okay with it. You're like, okay, that's going to be your thing, and I am just mm-hmm. the side project, and I'm gonna be cool with that because I don't want to be burdened with an annoying husband who needs me all the time.
Do you feel bad about going to the wife now?
I feel horrible about the situation. Unfortunately, I'm absolutely in love with this man, and I think he's a wonderful person outside of what has happened. But, you know, I got to a point where I think I was like, you know, I don't want to be the mistress. I don't want to be that person anymore. And I don't know, I think these women have decided that money is their power. And I didn't want money, and I didn't, you know, I didn't want any kind of power. I just wanted to be normal, I think.
You wanted him to leave her?
Yeah.
You wanted him to leave her to be with you.
So I think what I'm seeing mostly on the phones is that if he is honest with you from the very beginning, if he is married and he has kids, if it breaks up, then you don't have the right to break up their family. But if he's deceptive, is what seems like to be the calls coming in, like saying, what she's saying,
yeah.
then anything is fair game.
As long as he's not lying to you, it doesn't matter if he's lying to his wife.
The rules are so bizarre.
And then if you're the mistress, like, how do you know there aren't more?
Right, you don't. But because for some reason you think that he's all about you and he's telling you the truth when he is showing you that he is capable of lying.
Aren't we drawing up a rule book for how to cheat at a sport? Like, isn't that essentially what
at a sport?
What this is? Like, isn't it the equivalent of saying, all right, and here's the proper way to cheat during your basketball game? Like, no?
Nope. I'm not getting that.
I'm not getting the sports analogy.
Well, it's like there's a certain way that everything's supposed to happen and everything's going to go. And the explanation of all this stuff is almost like saying, this is, if you're going to cheat,
mm-hmm.
like whether it's in a relationship or a sport, here are the rules for cheating. When there shouldn't be any rules for cheating, because that's why it's cheating, because you're breaking the rules.
Right.
Yeah, using your sports analogy, it would be you somehow have told somebody on the other team that you're cheating and he knows about it. And at the end of the game, you end up narking on him. But you agreed before the game
right.
that you knew he was cheating.
So confusing and complicated.
You confused me.
I don't have the energy to be
The Burt Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Burt Show.
Producer Joanna, at 25 years old, living back with moms and pops.
Yeah, living back at the parents' house.
When did that happen? I thought you got a roommate.
Well, I did. I was living, you know, I rented out my house to help save some money, and I moved down to the city. But three roommates.
Was this a couple years ago?
Huh?
How long ago did this happen?
This happened just a few months ago.
Oh, okay.
So one of the roommates, we just have different lifestyles. He stays up very late, and I have to wake up very early, and it just wasn't working out, so I had to leave. You know, it was just
driving you crazy.
Yeah.
On the front end of this story, how did you meet this roommate? Was this like
a
random
ad?
Mutual
friend.
Mutual friend, okay. Mm-hmm.
So then I moved back home, and I thought I was going to hate it. I thought it was going to be horrible living at home.
Hold on. You're yada-yada-yada-ing this whole thing.
Yeah.
We are skipping over a whole bunch of stuff here. They kept separate hours, but this guy was up partying all night, right?
Right. He was coming home at like 3 a.m. and I have to wake up in like 45 minutes. And that 45 minutes is very crucial. So are you asking me to tell the whole like...
Didn't you threaten him with violence? Didn't Jason have to break you and your roommate up at one point?
Yes, I had the cops threaten to be called on me.
What happened?
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that.
What happened?
And look at how shocked she is at birth. Like,
is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Oh. It's part of the evolving story, I think. Yeah.
Well, okay, so it was happening. The first week, I realized that this wasn't going to be working out. You know, he came home at 3 a.m. and started singing karaoke Spice Girls upstairs. And I was just like, is this seriously happening?
I was so furious. Right. But the time we get up in the morning, you're right. Those 45 minutes are precious. Mm-hmm.
And he knew when you guys signed up to be roommates that you had to get up really early,
exactly.
Right?
But
right.
We're the only ones that understand how precious those 45 minutes are. Nobody who does not have this schedule, nobody understands it.
Right, and the thing is that he doesn't work because he's in school, and right now he's out of school, so he's been going out a lot. And I thought that, you know, I made it clear to him, like, hey, the other day, you know, you did a great, rendition of Spice Girls, but could you maybe, you know, do it later in the morning when I'm gone? And then he said he would try and keep it down, but then it started up again. And one night I was trying to keep my mouth shut, and I just laid there for 4 hours. Not being able to sleep because it was just the banging and the yelling and the partying upstairs.
Got a whole bunch of people there with him?
Yeah. Well, no, he had like 2 people, but they were making enough noise for like 100 people. And Jason kept telling me, don't say anything, you know, just try to go to bed. And you can't sleep through that. And I'm on the bottom floor, and it's our hardwood floors through the house. So every step sounds like it's magnified by 100.
Sure.
So I finally had enough, and I went upstairs and very calmly said, hey.
You sure it was calmly?
I did start off calm.
Started off.
Yes, that's funny.
Well, before you started off calm, did the walk up the stairs, was it a little louder than normal?
Step.
Exactly. Yeah, probably.
We have been working with each other all that long, but I don't see you as the keeping the cool head kind. You know, when you're really, really upset.
But I was at first very calm because he's younger than
her.
For me. He's younger than me. I felt like there's a certain way you have to speak to him. And
down.
Very condescendingly.
Childlike.
Right. Condescending.
Well, and then he started kind of insulting me. And that's when the calmness was out the window. Mm-hmm. And I
What is
charged,
kind of insulting? What
well,
did
he just
insult?
Started calling me names. He started calling me a bitch and things like that.
Now, are you sure where he's not from that that's not a term of endearment?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't take it as a term of endearment. So I charged at him as if I was going to hit him, and he got scared and backed up and then said that he was going to call the police on me and that I should get out of his house.
So we got all Jerry's friends.
Yeah. So then that's when Jason had to come up there, and Jason had to stop the fight. And we packed up our stuff at 4 o'clock in the morning and went to my parents' house.
I love the fact that the story, Joanna's original version was, well, I had a roommate, but I've decided to move back in with my
things
parents.
Things weren't working out.
Like, if you drive up to your parents' house at 4 a.m., then we need to know the story that led into that.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's embarrassing. I'm 25 really? Years old. I had my own place. Well, I still do have my own place, but it's rented now. I've never been kicked out of anywhere. It's always been my own place. No one's ever had to kick me out. I got kicked out. That's embarrassing.
By somebody younger than you.
Yeah.
And much less responsible, too.
Exactly. Right. So okay. It's just clearly. An embarrassing. Thanks for letting me embarrass myself once again.
Sure. That's what we do. So did you call your parents and tell them you were moving back in, or did you say, I'm just going to be there one night, then you tried going back?
No, I was like, you know what? I'll just move back home. Okay. You know, the holidays are coming up. I can save some money and I'll just live at home for a little while. And I mean, Jason was going to have us drive to Columbus. I was like, I'm not driving 2 hours at 4 o'clock in the morning with no sleep. I was like, just call my parents.
So he was ready for you guys to like move in together or just for that night?
No. What do you mean? I'm not sure.
You said something about Columbus there.
Oh, no. He wanted us to drive home to Columbus that night, the night that I called my parents at 4 o'clock in the morning, because we had nowhere else to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm living at home.
All right. As a 25-year-old, and that's a lot more difficult than when you're 14.
Right.
In some ways.
In some ways. I like to refer to them as my roommates. So we're not going to call them my parents. They're my roommates now. Mm-hmm. And
they're my adult roommates.
They are.
And if with roommates, you share responsibility. So I'm sure that you're doing as much as they're doing.
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
It's great. I come home and there's always dinner waiting for me on the table. And my room is always cleaned for me. And the bathrooms are clean.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And you are allowing your parents to clean your room.
Absolutely. I've lived on my own since I was 18.
No.
I need a
break.
Boy.
This is going to get ugly because Melissa feels very strongly about this. Like, once you're out of the house.
Jeff is hiding behind the couch right now.
Once you're out of the house, Melissa thinks you're out of the house.
Yes. Is mommy doing your laundry too?
No, I'm doing my own laundry.
Is mommy making your lunch?
No, I make my own lunch. She does make me coffee in the mornings because she wakes up at the same time I do.
No
coffee.
Way.
So
the coffee's okay. That's the only thing about that that's okay.
Is she cutting your meat up in little pieces for you before
no,
you eat it?
No, I've got that under control.
Is mommy giving you Flintstones vitamins in the morning?
No, but it's nice because I come home, there's always food in the refrigerator.
Oh, I'm sure that'd be nice if I went in and Millie Pete took care of me. But when I graduated, it was time for me to go and be my own adult and do my own
laundry and
do my own cleaning my room.
And I
she's
have done.
Her responsibility. She, to my opinion, is that parent in the recession, there's immunity for some people. So, like, I haven't been as strong now because I know those who are financially strapped, it's embarrassing to go home, and I understand. So, but I do believe if you're financially sound to do it, your parents have done their time. They've done their time. They've invested. They've gotten up. They've cared for you. And now it's time to be an adult. So.
Right. And I have been. You know, like I said, I've lived on my own since I was 18. Am I financially sound? No. I'm bartending and I'm working here and it's not enough to make ends meet, which is why I moved downtown because it was going to be cheaper. That's why I rented my house. Well, realized that wasn't going to work. So I moved back home and now I'm going to put some money away and hopefully pay off some debt before I get married. And
so when are you going to move out?
My move out date is mid-February. Once everything is done, I'm back from all, you know, going home for the holidays with Jason's parents. And then in January, we have a few trips and I've said... February will be the time that I move.
Melissa, if Joanna is your daughter and she calls you with the same scenario, the exact same scenario, if you're mom's, you say, sorry, you got to work this thing out yourself.
Well, you know, to a certain point, yes. And then if they can't work it out themselves, then if they live in my house, then they're cleaning their own room, they're doing their own laundry, and they're cooking their own food.
Okay. Well,
or you're cooking food for me. I've cooked food for you for 18 years. So it's time. Hey, you want to move in and live rent free? Guess what? You're cooking for me.
That's not what I asked you, though. If it's the same situation and you're her mom, do you let her move back home?
You know, because the holidays, maybe for the month, but I don't know if I wouldn't let her stay till February.
Melissa's got that Christmas spirit, but if it was before Thanksgiving.
No, I mean, I do believe there's some people that take advantage of it. And I do believe if you have to live at home, then, and you want to be considered an adult, you do not let your parents do what they did for you when you were a kid.
To me, it's about appreciation for it, too. It's not taking advantage of the fact that mom's cooking dinner for you each night or doing, you know, all those nice things. Because there's probably part of your mom that's really happy to do it for you because she's needed again. Mm-hmm. She's sort of like picking up that role. And I feel that when I go home for the holidays and spend time with my family and my parents, my mom can't wait to dote on me and my brother. But when it's an extended period of time, I think it's about appreciating that.
I mean,
you know,
absolutely.
And making sure that, like Melissa said, you're doing things in return for them and you're making sure that they know you've got so much gratitude for what they're doing for you rather than taking advantage of it.
I mean, I absolutely appreciate everything they do for me, you know, and when I do come home and my mom has cooked dinner, she shoves food in my face. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how my mom is. She's just a very giving person. She's always baking, always cooking. You know, I do my own laundry, but she'll be like, no, 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 just give it to me. And I'm like, no, I can do my own laundry.
Can I have your room when you move out?
Absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate my parents. And I think that that's maybe a different in culture, too, though. I think my parents, like, are... My parents love the fact that I came back home, and they love having me there. And my dad's there. It's cute watching them like want to teach me stuff. Still, like whenever my mom's cooking, she's like, "Come here, Joanna, let me show you how I make this dish."
Probably
or how
so
I do
that
this.
Joanna, I'm teaching you how to make this dish,
so you can get make out of it house. For me.
I don't think so. And make that cute boy happy. Huh? That's what she wants you to do. She wants to make make that cute boy
Jason
happy.
Jason loves it more than I do because she's always baking and cooking for him, too.
So. I don't think it's a culture thing that mothers cook for their children. I don't think it's a culture thing for a mother to be excited that a child is home. I just think that the responsibility is on the adult children to make sure that they are not behaving as they did when they were a teenager.
That's a tricky one right there. For me, it wouldn't even be an option. Like, I would have to figure out something other than moving in with my parents. No matter what, recession, it would have to be somebody else.
I mean, I thought the same way, but until it happens to you, you can't really say that.
Right.
That's true.
Does it bum you out that you have to be back there? I can see it in your eyes.
It did, but now I'm just like, whatever. My roommates love me being there, so.
Your
roommates'
parents. You mean your parents?
So call your parents.
The Burt Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Burt Show.
If you guys have kids, you know that, and I'll try to handle this delicately because it's 7:25 and some of you are still eating, but if you have kids that are like 2-3 years old, they don't have to be sick in order to get sick. Like I told you guys when Hayden was younger, when we were at Outback Steakhouse one night.
Puke sick.
Uh-huh. Like, it just comes from nowhere. They don't need to have a cold. They don't need to be choking on something. If they are ready to yak, they just yak in the middle of anywhere sometimes. And this happened to our family again a couple of days ago with Hollis.
Oh.
And I want to know from you guys that are parents, where's the most like inappropriate or embarrassing place that your kid just yacked? And you never see it coming because, again, they don't have to be choking on anything. This may not be a symptom of a cold that's been going on for days.
It's just a spontaneous route.
If they're like 2 years old, sometimes you're just holding them and all of a sudden, bleh.
It's like a cat.
It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anytime, as long as they just start.
Even a cat, you get the warning.
A little bit of warning,
they
right.
run from the hardwoods onto the rug.
Yeah. They know better, right?
Yes.
But see, now, I told you guys years ago, we're at Outback Steakhouse, and the way that Outback is they're all those little, they're booths, right, that are set up about shoulder high, right?
Now, with the Hollis story, do you have to give as much detail? Because Jessica and I had an Outback craving the other night.
I haven't gone back there since this happened. So we're there with the family, and it's everybody. It's the grandparents, it's Stacy and I, and it's the kids. And Hayden is playing peekaboo with a whole bunch of like 20-somethings that are sitting in a booth right next to us. And all of a sudden, he just throws up on the back of the neck of one of the women that are eating there. You remember she called us the next day?
Yeah.
I was telling the story, and she calls up the next day.
Horrible.
She's like, it's okay,
gross.
Right?
That was in the back of my mind the entire time I was sitting there. I'm glad you didn't say what booth it was.
I have not gone to Outback since that day. It was so traumatic. They were heading out. Like, it was their big filler meal before they went out to go drinking.
God.
So my 2-year-old at that time, or 3-year-old, pukes all over her. And their night is ruined, but they were really, really cool about it. This one happens on Saturday morning. There was a press screening for The Princess and the Frog at Atlantic Station.
New Disney movie.
Jen was there, yeah.
Yeah, it was there with my friend and her daughter.
Sitting a couple of rows behind us.
Oh, no.
And Stacy gets up to go to the restroom, so I'm there with Hayden and Hollis sitting in the row. And Hayden just gets up. I mean, Hollis just gets up and pukes. No reason at all.
Where?
I mean, there's nothing coming. It was in the dark theater.
But where, like, you stood up and do you walk anywhere or
no,
just stand
you
where
just
you
stood stand? Up? So it was sort of half in between our aisle, and I'm sure they didn't know it at the time. They could smell it, but he basically yacked on the family in front of us in between the chairs.
No. Oh, gross.
And you know that smell, man. It just permeates through the theater, right?
It's disgusting. Oh.
And even in a dark theater, you know, when they're showing a lighter part of the movie, you can see what people are doing. And you could see as this, it was getting worse, that people were starting to look in our direction.
Dude.
And I didn't have any napkins, nothing. So it happens right there in the theater with no warning at all. Zero.
And not like, Daddy, I'm going to get sick or I don't feel good or
nothing.
Anything like that. Just stand up. What?
Now, the good news in a theater like that is that you're there with other parents with 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds,
yes.
So they understand it. That's the only saving grace there. But if you're at Outback and sometimes they're a family, sometimes you're not, it's a little more embarrassing.
Oh.
But this can happen. If you're parents, it'll happen anywhere.
What age does it end?
Well, at some point, you know, like at 5, they start to tell you, look, my stomach doesn't feel good.
Okay.
But at 2, it just hits them in the stomach and then they're throwing up.
So 4-ish, around the communication. I'm just wondering how guarded I have to be around each of your kids.
With Hollis, anything can happen. I would wear an Ebola suit over to our house.
Okay.
I was thinking that Jeff was trying to figure out at what age he should adopt.
Right.
Once you get through that stage, then I can have a kid.
Good morning, Jennifer. You are on Q100. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
I was calling. This actually didn't happen to me. It was my brother, and they went to Very Merry Christmas a couple weeks ago. And if you've ever been to Disney in the past year or so, Mickey and Minnie have their own houses.
Oh, no.
Where if you want to see the characters, you wait in these humongous lines and get your picture taken with Mickey and Minnie and so forth. Well, while they were waiting to see Minnie Mouse, his daughter puked everywhere, all over the furniture.
Mm. In Minnie's house?
The whole room had to get cleared out, so people that had been waiting for 30, 40 minutes had to evacuate the area.
You can't puke in Minnie Mouse's house.
And when you've been waiting that long, you're finally up to the front of the line, and you have to wait another 30 minutes based on some kid yakking.
Yes.
You forget that you have your own 2-year-old, and this has happened to you before.
Yeah.
Here is Alicia. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Bertho.
Hey.
Hi.
Morning.
We were at a funeral, and my 2-year-old, right before they did the last prayer, decided to puke all over my husband and I.
Right in the funeral service.
Yes.
Sweet.
At least it was on parents
crying.
And how old is your child?
2.
I think we're going to realize when this is all said and done that it's the 2-year-old phase.
Yeah.
That from 2 to 3, those are prime yakking years right there.
Yakking years. Because that's where they just can't tell or communicate or hold it. Well, maybe it's just for a stomach rebellion. You know, the terrible 2s. Maybe the stomach is just as rebellious as the kid, you know?
Hey, Amy, good morning.
Hey, I know mine's more of an infant story, but my son had just been fed, and I had a friend who came over. She decided she wanted to pick up the cute little baby and hold him up above her, and he spit up into her mouth.
Oh!
No!
Dude, why are we doing this while people are eating breakfast?
God,
That is awesome.
That is nasty.
Seriously.
There is not enough mouthwash for that.
Hey, Chris, good morning.
Look at the joy that Bert is getting. Bert has been waiting.
That is gnarly.
Since Hayden puked on strangers. Bert has been waiting.
I don't know that I could top that.
See what you got, Chris.
I had my 2.5-year-old. We were on our first cruise, which was a Disney cruise at the time. He went into the fanciest restaurant on the ship. It was our dress-up night.
Mm-hmm.
And get to the restaurant, sit down. They bring out the main course. He yaks all over the table.
Ew.
I just projectile vomits. And not only does he projectile vomit all over the table and all over the people at the table, which was not just our family, it was other people, he has diarrhea and rooster tails out of the back of his diaper.
No.
And gets it all in the back of their Mickey Mouse ears on the chair. And
okay, yeah, I think we get that.
Yep, that's pretty good. That is hilarious that he just called it rooster tail.
I think that's good. We'll take one more. I won't get to the one who threw up all over clothes at the Banana Republic while mom was shopping. But hey, Mandy, good morning.
Hey, we were on the flight to Denver, and my child, well, he was going to be 2 in February, and he had been just, you know, that kid on the plane screaming and yelling and not being still and not going to sleep, and it was late, and I was hoping he would sleep, but he didn't, and I'm sitting in the middle, and he threw up all over the lady next to me.
And the worst is when you're on a plane, because you can't escape that, man.
There
is no way for the air to get out of that plane, and there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide.
I would jump. I would open the hatch, and I would jump.
I'd start smoking and just say, turn it around, man. Then get me out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. That's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Bird Show.
All right, this is Colleen. Bit of a panic right now. Hey, Colleen.
A bit of a panic is an understatement.
Oh, no. What happened?
You're on the voice disguiser. What happened? Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. Here's the situation. I work for a company. It's a web development company, and it's a really small company.
How many people?
Pardon me?
How many people?
There's only 6 of us.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then there's the guy that owns the company. But we're really close, you know, and everyone trusts everybody, and we're, you know, when you are in an environment that small, everybody's kind of like family. Anyway, I was talking to my brother, and my brother wanted to start. He wanted to get some stuff done through our company, and I told him, you know, we'll help you out. We'll build this website. You wanted to build this website. We'll build this website for you. And that's what we do, and you can pay us later. So he had us build this website for him. And he wrote a check. Now, mind you, I do all of the bookkeeping for the company.
Okay.
Cut all the checks. Anytime that any invoices come in, everything comes to me.
Okay.
Since there's only 6 of us, I'm the only one that does it.
Okay.
When my brother wrote the check, his check completely bounced.
Okay.
And I have been figuring out a way to try and tell people this because I don't even know how. I feel like it's my fault because it's my brother.
Okay, stop one second here. So I'm confused. Does this affect the office party?
Right. I'm getting there.
All right, it's been a journey.
Let's go right there.
Long story short, Christmas party is Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of the company decided I mean, none of us thought that we were going to be getting Christmas bonuses this year with the economy the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided that he was going to take the money from my brother's job and use that to give everybody a Christmas bonus.
Okay.
And your brother's check bounced, so there's no money in the pot for the bonuses.
And you've been hiding that fact.
Yes.
Okay.
And are they supposed to get the bonuses on the party?
Pardon me?
Are they supposed to get the bonuses at the party?
I'm supposed to cut the checks and hand them out on Friday night. And these checks are for $3,000 a piece.
Oh.
It's a lot of money. The problem is that the owner told, like, one person.
And so now everybody knows.
And so everybody knows. Mm. So it's not like people aren't going to realize what they're missing. Like, everybody's expecting this check and have, like, gone out and made purchases and, you know.
Very Griswold-like. You know,
yeah.
Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
There's no way your brother has the money.
He absolutely doesn't have the money. I've talked to him about it, and literally, I'm the only person that knows this, and I've been waiting and waiting, and now, you know, the party's Friday night, and I feel awful, and I don't know what to do.
Now, you said that the boss has told one person in the office about the bonus, right?
Correct.
But you're confident that everybody knows about it?
Oh, yeah, because it's already gotten back to me.
So there's a good chance that somebody that in the office that has heard that they've got the $3,000 coming already has that money spent themselves.
Oh, yeah. People are talking about, I went online, I purchased this. You know, I didn't think I was going to be able to get my son this for Christmas. And, like, I just, like, want to hide under a rock. I don't even know what to do.
Is it safe to assume that your company is not one that has an abundance of money? I'm guessing because he said use that payment to pay the bonuses makes me think that, like, you don't have, like,
the constant cash flow.
Yeah, a great cash flow plan going, which means you can't take it from another account or pull it off a line of credit or something until your brother makes good on the check.
No, it is. Money is extremely tight with the company right now, and the owner of the company, he's such a great guy. I mean, he has the biggest heart, and he, you know, he pays what he can, and he gives bonuses if there's extra work, but there hasn't been. And so when we got this job for my brother, like, he was like, oh, my gosh, this is perfect. And then, of course, I didn't find out till afterwards, but.
Did you tell us how long you've been hiding the fact that your brother can't, or that since the check bounced, he can't pay it?
It's been about 6 weeks.
It's not even like you can start a rumor in the office that the initial rumor of the bonuses is really that. It's a rumor because the boss has already told another employee that they're coming.
Right. Exactly.
So have you talked to your brother at all and got him to pay any sort of this, or can he get a line of credit? Can you explain to him the situation you're in? Because if the answer to that question was 1 week, then I think you go into your boss's office, you shut the door, and you say, hey, I feel terrible because this is my recommendation, my brother. This is what happened. I feel awful. Because then the boss can simply say, we have a bonus coming, but it's based on some collections that haven't come in yet, right? Mm-hmm. But if you've been hiding it for 6 weeks, I don't know if that's fraud, but that's certainly deceptive. And that would, if I'm your boss,
it's fireable.
That draws your whole employment into question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's Kelly. Good morning. Hey, Kelly, you're on Q100.
Yeah, I'm saying she just needs to put it back on her brother. I mean, he's the one that didn't pay the bill. Go get a credit card and a cash advance or a title loan or something. I mean, he's the one that owes the money.
But there is the problem that she's kept this a secret for 6 weeks now. I mean, if it was any other company that bounced the check, she would have gone to the boss immediately, right?
Or she can go get a loan and he can pay her back then because she's the one that covered, you know, his rear end.
That may be the only way to actually save your job right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Donna, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
I love you guys. I listen to you every morning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to just make a comment. It sounds like if I didn't catch the initial part of the conversation about how much the total check was, but I just know from past experience with an ex that if you write a check for over $500, it's a felony. It is not a misdemeanor.
To bounce a check for more than $500?
Wow. Right, because I've seen paperwork on an ex that's come in from collections from the actual person that he wrote the check because he... It wouldn't, you know, they kept sending him the bill to make good on it, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't. And finally, their final thing was highlighted at the bottom, you know, this is anything over $500 is a felony and is punishable, you know, by law.
Yeah, that's what most are calling now, saying that they're more of the concern about pressing charges. Hey, Angela, good morning.
Good morning. I agree with the caller. I was just going to say, you know, I think I would be a little less concerned about the Christmas party and more concerned about the possible... jail time that my brother could face should the boss decide to press charges.
But I think that's part of her dilemma.
Is there any way out of this except for her to come up with the money and pay for it? She saves her job, she saves not going to jail, and she saves the brother also.
She's got to loan her brother that money.
Now here's David who says he's in the same situation or was in the same situation as you. Hey, David.
Hey, how we doing?
Okay, how are you?
But I was in the same situation. We have a small contracting firm, and it's family ran, but we did some work for a friend of ours, for a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. It was like about a $12,000 check. We did some work. Our bookkeeper actually hid it from us, and it was just about the same thing. It was about this time frame. You know, money was tight. We decided we were going to give our bonuses, but they held this thing. It was about, you know, 4 weeks. And, you know, the bad part about this thing is that, you know, the other employees kind of depend on this bonus because you do point out that you are going to give a bonus. But the other call that I did come in, it is true. $500 is a felony.
Yeah, that's what most are calling up saying right now.
And the bad part about this, the employee, which is the bookkeeper, because she held the check, she can also be charged.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Wow. You know, that depends on the DA. DA could just say, look, you guys did a fraud.
Yeah.
And depending on the mood of that DA, they can definitely push this and include that member into this. So her best thing is get to that boss, say, look, you know, the check wasn't covered. Get it out in the open now because the longer she waits, the worse it's going to be for her.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys resolve it in your situation?
Well, we handled it in-house. They wind up, what we did was we did threaten to go to the police. They did wind up getting a personal loan. And they did make good on the check, but she did lose her job.
Wow.
Which may inevitably end up the same way here.
You know what?
Even though they paid it, she still lost her job.
Because even though it's a small family-run company, it's still money that's being depended on to pay other bills. And if you can't have somebody running the books who's not going to be honest about it. Right.
I'd rather have the problem of losing my job than trying to figure out how to get out of jail.
Right.
And I think Bert had it where our caller has to do that on behalf of her brother, because that's the only way she will save her job, is get the line of credit somewhere, get a loan, mortgage on the house, whatever. It's probably bad business, because then you've loaned money to family, and what is it like?
Well, her family's done it, I mean, screwed her over.
Right,
you know?
But I mean, she needs to, if she's going to protect her job, this is what she needs to do, and then hold her brother to that and go, look, I covered this debt for you, you owe me.
You got
now.
Me. Now, you said the party is Friday night?
Friday is Friday night.
Friday night. So we're at Wednesday now, so you've got...
to go to the bank.
Most of the calls coming in saying you have 48 hours to go to the bank and cover this thing.
That's right.
Or you're looking at, like, big-time charges.
Okay.
You've got to. I mean, you've held on to it for 6 weeks. So.
Right. No, I know. I just... Should I tell my boss what happened anyway, just to clear my conscience?
No.
If you want to save your job, be quiet.
Yes.
Go to your bank, go to your credit union, go to your cousin, go to whoever.
Yeah, don't punish the company.
Get that money, put it in the bank account today. Tell your brother he owes you that much and tell him you saved his ass from jail.
And don't tell anybody in the office. Nobody. Okay?
Yeah, that time passed 6 weeks ago.
All right, Colleen, we got to talk to you on Monday morning to find out how the whole weekend panned out, okay?
Yeah, thank you guys so much for your help. I'm going to go to the bank.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Good luck.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
It's your future. Own it.
I know. That's exactly where she needs to go.
That's the first call she needs to make right there.
The Bert Show.